mediocre. Amen. And on the other side, I told him down there, knowing them, I said, "You're getting a gifted young man that you can plug in." Okay, one thing I want to say is David Albus is going to be speaking tonight. David, as you come. Yeah. I'm going to tell you in these 2 years, 2.5 years now, time goes by. What I love about David Albus is anywhere we needed help, he said, "I'll help." Because sometimes and during that first 6 months, things weren't easy. It's just trying to plug some holes. And I seen him being in the kids' church and just saw him. He doesn't have any children, by the way, do you? But saw him just grow with doing his best, wanting to learn, and just growing with how he interacted with these kids. And so I appreciate that, David. And so one thing I want to say as he comes, he's like, "Chad, amen him." He hasn't done this a lot, so that's okay. Man, if he's preaching the Word of God, man, we're going to glean something powerful. So pull from him this evening, okay? And let's allow him to minister and be looking for an open heart and say, "Lord, speak to us tonight," okay? Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Chad. Thank you for having me tonight. So tonight, we're going to talk about the spiritual authority of the believer. Who am I? Who am I to petition God? Who am I to make demands of the spirit realm? Who am I to fight demons? Who am I to teach others? This is a concern of many believers. Tonight, let us answer these questions and see what God has to say to us. In John chapter 1, verse 11 through 13, this is my favorite passage, by the way. I love this passage because once you understand it, what it speaks to you and the motivation that comes through is awesome. He came to his own, and his own did not accept him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. If we focus in on verse 12, we see that for as many as received him, that's speaking of someone who's accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. They've been given a right. Rights are kind of a big thing in this country. We got a whole bill of rights. And that totally shapes our culture. My right to this, my right to that. Everything in our culture is based on this concept of rights. And right here, it's talking about a right. The right we're given in verse 12 is to become a child of God. It's very easy to gloss over this with a Christian knees kind of, "Oh, yay, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, da-da-da," kind of attitude. No, this is powerful. This is a very powerful thing. This is a defining thing. This speaks to our relationship with the Father. This speaks to our position in the kingdom of heaven. This speaks to our role with the Father. To really get to an understanding of what this means, we need to look at how people at the time would have understood it. One thing that Pastor Lee used to say that I appreciate: the Bible wasn't written to us, it was written for us. So you have to look at things from the perspective of the people that it was written to really get a good understanding. At this time, Israel was conquered by the Romans. The Roman Empire had the majority of the known world. It stretched from Europe through the eastern shores of the Mediterranean Sea over the northern coast of Africa. Now, typically, when the Romans would go and conquer a land, it wasn't just wipe them off the face of the earth. It would be conquer and then establish a puppet government. You go and do some things. You would keep if the king there would be like, "Okay, we'll work a deal after you go and conquer." And you'd keep someone in the line and also give you a legitimacy. But then that person would pay homage to the emperor. And so they were, even though they had an emperor, They also had a king. They were very, this is a group of people that was really understanding what a king was and what a kingdom was about. And so, let's see. We also see evidence of this in Matthew 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, that was the current puppet government and all that the Romans had at the time in Israel, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Here we see that Herod was the king of Israel at the time. Even though he was a subject to the Roman Empire, he was still a major power in the region. To be the child of a king or a father who held power is to have the authority of the king or that powerful ruler. We see this evidence in the parable of the tenants in Matthew 21, 33-40. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower. And he leased it to vine growers and went on a journey. And when the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive his fruit. And the vine growers took his slaves, beat one, killed another, and stoned yet another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they did the same thing to them. But afterwards, he sent his sons, saying to them, they will respect my son. But when vine growers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take possession of his inheritance. And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine growers? Now, this parable we know is speaking of Jesus Christ. We know the tension, but I use this because it shows what the perspective of the people would have had then. They understood that if a landowner, if someone in power sent their son, that son represented them. That son carried their authority. That was the understanding that they had at the time. Historically, we know that the leadership of kingdoms at the time was typically passed down by lineage. The line of King David is a prime example of this. In 2 Chronicles 23:3, then all the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And Jehoiada said to them, behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord has spoken concerning the sons of David. Jeremiah 33:15, in those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch of David sprout, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. This is what God was saying about his son, his child. By virtue of the Father's station is how you are established. You have power and authority in the heavenly realm by virtue of your adoption into the kingdom. This is no small thing. I woke up one morning and had this beautiful image in my head. Please visualize this with me. This was awesome. I want to see a painting of this someday. Picture a kingdom at court. Have any of you ever seen like those old medieval movies? You have the king up on his throne, and then you have the people lined up on the side, his retinue. And in this vision, part of the retinue was angels. They had tablets that they would write things down on. They had other tablets they would read things from, standing around the side. Some had swords for protecting or guarding. And then in the middle of this were ones without wings. Those were the children of God. Those were those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior and have come into the kingdom. And they're mingling there in court. And all, yeah, they're talking, they're hanging out and everything. And in this vision, someone comes running in. They come running in. There's trouble in the land. There's the evil one is attacking the land. The evil one is here. And among them, those children of God, there were some others, not all of them, but some of them, they got on their knees. And just as in Isaiah 6:8 said, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And these people were on their knees, and they said, here I am, send me. God is calling you to spiritual arms. Will you answer the call? When evil invades our schools and corrupts the children, will you answer the call? When you see suffering of those that the Father loves, will you answer the call? When you see the hungry, will you answer the call? When you see the naked, will you answer the call? When you see the sick, will you answer the call? those among us who have answered the call can tell you of the peace and the fulfillment of knowing you answered the call and went forth in the Father's authority. Allow me to give you an anecdotal example of my own life. In 2017, my dad gave me a business partnership with him. At that time, he was called to the mission field in Africa for a time. He felt God's call, and when he told me about it, I felt peace on the subject. That's kind of a big deal because of the nature of it. It wasn't some big organization that said, "Hey, Ed, will you come on down?" He just got some random message from a guy from Kenya and I'll say that saying that he has an orphanage out there and he would like my dad to come and preach and maybe see about getting a well out there. No group, no nothing. This screams a kidnapping. This screams, "Hey, I'm going to abduct you, and guess what, Dad? I don't have money, and so you're stuck. And what am I supposed to do if it's some jihadist or whatever at that, especially at that time and all what was going on and stuff? If this is something bad, but none of that. I felt an absolute peace. I was like, oh wow, I should be terrified at this premise, but I feel absolute peace at my dad going over them. Like, Dad, do it. God, I agree. God is calling you. I mean, this isn't just you. Like, I should be telling you not to go, and I'm saying, and I'm compelled to say go. And all there's that kind of peace on it. During this time, my dad saw many come to Christ, and he was able to establish a good network out there that even though he hasn't been able to go out for a time, he's able to, and what I'll get into with our food pantry, be able to back preachers out there, back building farms, back taking care of people, because while he was there and he trained up some individuals in how to share share the Lord effectively, and then now he's financing their preaching out there. He would love to get back there, but family stuff, he just can't get out there right now. Coming back here to Chino Valley, in 2018, the landlord over our business property approached us. He wanted to get out from under his payments. We were able to get a good deal on the property and just take over payments. I'm not going to get into all the details there, but it was the sort of deal that only God can provide. It was the sort of thing like, it happens and you're like, this ain't me. I might be okay at business, but I ain't that good. We agreed to the deal. It was an obvious gift of God. After all was signed, said, and done, we received the deed for the property. I sat down at the computer. I started looking over the boundary measurements. You're in real estate. You know, when you get a deed and you're like, okay, north of this many feet. And I started measuring things out. I'm like, there's an extra acre and a half here. There's a bunch of bare land we didn't know we were getting. We're like, okay, God, like, there's an old mechanic shop. I can figure out what to do with that. There's an old car wash. Okay, maybe that's an idea. There's an old RV park. That's a big clue right there. We could do some stuff with that. But bare land? God, what do you want me to do with bare land? And what's the goal here? It was kind of confusing to us, as we just weren't sure. Now, we had some long-term goals. Eventually, we'd love to see a youth center out there. But like, what do we do with it for now? Well, 2020 hit. A time where toilet paper disappeared. Parents had to teach alternative wiping methods. It was terrible. Food was wiped from the shelves of the grocery stores. People were living in fear. My dad and I stood in front of our store, and we had a conversation. We're like, okay, we know God, God put us in this position. He gave us this land. We have a good well. We see all the food is disappearing. What is it that we're going to do? We're like, God, what do you want us to do? Because we're here to serve you. We said, here I am, send me. And let's go. And God put it on our hearts to use that bare land to start a farm. We started a community farm back there. And we got enough donations from that farm that we were able to start the food pantry that we have there. That food pantry feeds an average of 250 people a week. And all that come in there and use that food pantry. I mean, it's like, again, that ain't me. It's like, okay, God, you say go, and it's up to you. And because I know I couldn't do that. Another interesting thing, when we started that farm, people would come to us terrified. people all of a sudden like, oh, now I'm interested in the prepping thing, or now I'm interested in preparedness, and they start and but they didn't come at it from a perspective of, okay, this is wise, this is running, and what they came out of for fear, and we showed them with the farm, and many of them would volunteer, and suddenly that fear turned into something else. It turned into provision. Their spirits were lifted. Their fear was turned into provision for a community, for those that didn't have anything, that or were kind of on that edge, kind of teetering, and all. It kept them from going too far. It provided a buffer during a very strange time. Extra funds for that, the funds that come in from there, go to help people over in Africa, and then also help here locally. There, and we build, and by meeting different people, we've been able to find different resources, and I won't get into all the details, but here and abroad, people get helped because of what God's doing with that extra acreage, and us just being willing to say, okay, go ahead, God. The effort for my dad and I was not labor, but adventure. It's kind of a perspective thing. When you look at it and go, okay, God, now what do you have me doing? Now what do you have me doing? You're digging yourself into your own hole. When you say, okay, God, here I send me. I when I was teaching the youth, I gave them a video game reference. And all in video games, there's a type where you have different quests, and there's different people that go and give you a quest, give you an adventure to go do. And it kind of resonated with them pretty well, because you're looking for the quest. What's the point of playing the video game if you go from this place and nothing happens in between? And it's boring. This keeps our life from being boring. These quests keep our life from being boring. We get to have adventure. However, we have to relax because we cannot do it with what we do over there. We are not working in our own authority, but we're working under God's authority and calling. This is not to brag about us. This isn't to boast about myself. This is to boast about how God has used us. This is to brag on God and his authority. Now I want to talk about false humility. One of the things that hinders walking in God's authority is false humility. Humility in oneself is good. It is the key to salvation. It's the key to healing. Being willing to go to the elders of the church and say, hey, I need healing. There's a reason for that. You're having the humility to say, I can't do it myself. And you have to rely on God. Recognizing it is God who does these things, not your earthly self. That said, humility in who God has made you to be is harmful. It holds you back from your potential. By virtue of your station in the heavenly realm, you have the expectation of heroism. Not as the reflection of your earthly being, but as the reflection of who God made you and the strength that he gave you. This heroism is to be a glorification to the Father. A firefighter saves a child from a burning building. Somebody stops a shooter. They get interviewed by the news, and then they're almost always asked, do you think of yourself as a hero? Are you a hero? The typical response is a very nervous, uncomfortable, no, I'm just a guy. I'm nobody sort of response. This world is desperate for heroes to rise up. This pseudo-humble mindset can be a pitfall. When you see a falling or failing in our society, but say, I'm no hero, I can't do anything, you blaspheme the power that God gave you. I'll say it again. By virtue of your station in the heavenly realm, you have the expectation of heroism. Not only the expectation, but the ability. God gives you the strength and the resources for the mission that he calls you to. If you could trust him with your salvation, you could trust him with the task that he calls you to. The call. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. We have a holy calling. Holy calling. Helps if I pronounce that word right. The word before this is and. We are not just called to salvation, we are called to a holy calling. God is calling us to something more than just a boring life. He has an adventure to call you on. His own purpose and grace shows us that we have been given a purpose. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he prays in Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? This calling is hopeful and enriching. It is something to feel strengthened by. Later in Ephesians, Paul adds in Ephesians 4:1-2, Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. The manner of your calling isn't referring to being on your best behavior. When God himself calls you to a task, but we respond, I'm too weak. I am too much of a sinner. No, not going to happen. I'm not worthy. We aren't walking in the manner of our calling. I don't say this to condemn, but rather to encourage. Brothers and sisters, God has given you the calling and the authority to conquer with that calling. While we sit in the throne room praising God, walking in the Spirit, and enjoying our relationship with the King, be ready to bend the knee and say, Here I am, send me. You don't have to wait for a hero. If God is calling you, he has made you the hero.